copy of the letter from Governor Johannes, which you're welcome to have.
We'll scan this and...
Sure, and if that copy's not good enough, let me know. I'll try to get you a better copy. I'd just like to reiterate, I know you, just like everybody else, has budget problems. I just want to make sure that all of you understand how important that operating money is to us. And it's true, we've got some reserves right now, but long term, this is what has a devastating effect on us. I mean, I can only say again that, you know, from the late 80s, when the $45,000 we were getting, it was half of our revenue, to what we are now, to 22%, to go to 13% if you cut $20,000. I'd submit, ladies and gentlemen, we're going the wrong way.
Well, and speaking for myself as, you know, a blind person, and hoping that I am thinking for the blind community, I mean, some of the points I was making on our listening link is I see a lot of opportunity there, and I think, you know, to have it available in Omaha for local people is great. It seems to me that it could be a revenue neutral, if not a profit making, endeavor.
We're not interested in making profit, I can tell you.
Well, at least revenue neutral, then.
I'm sure that's something. And we do look at costs periodically. Again, I don't want to belabor the fact, but I think Bob Deaton is right on when he says, you know, what if we...
Well, sure, if you charge too much, the market can only bear so much cost, but right now there's no cost, and it seems to me...
No, there is some cost to pay. Yeah, they're, it's not free.
But $4.50 a tape is...
You know, I wish Janet was here, and I wish I was, you know, I wasn't, I don't want to get too hung up on a discussion on listening link costs, because I'm really, I'm sorry I didn't bring Janet down, because I'm not the best one to discuss that.
Well, she could send us a breakdown of, you know, if there's additional costs that are charged, and that would be very helpful.
Yeah, we'd be glad to do that. We can get that down to Pearl.
What the typical cost would be, like, per page, you know what I mean, if you're dealing with a textbook that's 200 pages versus 400 pages, what's the average that we're talking about? So the total number of tapes, you know, that one textbook might require based on like a page number, so we can get a general idea of what's going on there.
Okay, well I'll see what we can put together, and we'll get that down to Pearl.
Okay. Well, we really do appreciate your coming down, mm-hmm. And I hope that you know that whatever we do, we aren't doing it lightly. We didn't even raise this issue in a light way. We do take our responsibility seriously, and you know, we're certainly not interested in cutting out diversity for blind people or making it more difficult for folks to get what they need. What we are trying to do is to make it possible for things to happen in the most cost-effective way and in a forward-looking way. And we're hoping that, I mean, you know, in the ideal world where there's enough of everything all the time and all of that, this discussion wouldn't be necessary, but as you say, there are things that we need to look at in the same way there are things that you need to look at, and I'm glad that we've had a chance to get together to discuss some of the things that are happening. We appreciate everybody's input. I noticed that the chairman of the board didn't say anything, and before you go, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Jim, if you have anything that you want to say on behalf of the board.
No, I would just say that on behalf of the board of directors, that certainly I've learned, and I think the board members have learned, that RTD does provide a lot of different kinds of services, and I think one of the things that was not touched on here today is that the board is comprised of a variety of persons, not only visually impaired persons, but also local persons in the Omaha area, because that's where the operation is located. And these are community leaders, and they spread the word about the accomplishments of the service, as well as the accomplishments of visually impaired and blind people. Likewise, the organization, as it goes out and selects or attempts to get contributors, also provides a lot of information about what blind people do as opposed to what they can't do. So I think the organization has a lot of benefits, not only providing information and entertainment and the like. It also does a lot of PR work and a lot of good public relations for disabled people, and in particular blind and vision impaired people.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you. And I'd just like to say in closing, we appreciate the good relationship we've had with NCBVI and working with the counselors, and we certainly hope that continues in the future, and we really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you for coming, and we appreciate your frankness, and we also hope that whatever works out, that that we will begin, we will continue to interact, whatever the case may be. I mean, whatever decision we make, I think that sometimes people begin to think that if you once make a decision, that that's the way it is forevermore, and it may or may not be. I think there are times when there are situations that take center stage at one point, and then later on perhaps they don't, and then maybe they resurface or whatever. So all I'm trying to say really is that we will give serious consideration to what you've said, and whatever decision we make, we will do it in as an informed a way as we can. And so, as soon as you can get the information that we've requested, we would really appreciate that so that we can make an informed decision.
Okay, sure will. Thanks again.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Okay, it's about a quarter to 12, and we still have a good portion of our agenda to do today. Now, we can probably do one of two things, or maybe one of several, but we could take a short break now, reconvene and do another item, or we could break for lunch and come back in a longer period of time. What do you want to do?
I mean, obviously,
we're not going to finish.
Is there a natural breaking point?
Well, this is one, or we could do the financial participation thing and then break and do the rest of the agenda after that. I mean, there are some certainly natural breaking points, but obviously we're not going to finish the meeting this morning, so.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Mike Lear. I kind of need to take off, and I've got about a 1-minute report to make.
Okay, and that would have to do with the Friends?
Yes.
Okay, we will...
Well, if he's got 1 minute, we could do 1 minute.
Yeah, if you need urgent enough that we can't do the 1-minute report, or...
Pearl will be counting the 60 seconds.
Okay.
And we'll know if it's more than 60 seconds.
Okay, okay, we're going to use up that amount of time just talking
if
about
it. If I need to leave the room, I will.
54,
so.
53.
Thank you.
I'll just come right over to Bob here. Okay. Well, I've been focusing on people with high profiles and deep pockets, and they haven't been swarming in as far as trying to find members for the directors. And so I had a little consultation with Bill Ressler this morning. We're going to now switch the focus to finding a couple of three folks who will join me, and we can get together a week from now or so and put together a board of officers and then we can actually get the paperwork going. We've been having that held up trying to get people together, but we're going to have an organization, I guess you'd call it an organizational meeting, right, Bill? Not this coming week, because Bill will be away. I'm going to have Bill sit in with us, so we make sure we do things properly the first time. So we'll have that done, not next week, but the week after that. And that's my report.
I have a question. There was some, is there going to be a part of this rehab council meeting that in effect is a working meeting on things that are needed to make the Friends happen? That was a suggestion.
I think the board of directors needs to be chosen, and just the budget, and then it's, the budgets can kind of just be creative thinking, since there's no, I think the key is once the board is identified, I think the rest of the stuff should happen, you know, ASAP.
Now, once you get the board, then they can draft the standard budget for 2 years and.
Right, well, there were specific people on the rehab council when we were discussing the role of the council that had said they'd be interested in, you know, working as a part of the Friends of the Commission or being involved with that, and so.
Right, those people will be invited to the meeting, which will be hopefully, like you said, the week after next.
Okay.
How did you do, Bob?
2-1-0.
I think that must have been a Martian minute or something. Okay, so what type of break do you want to take at this point?
Well, I'm inclined to take a short break and continue to get the break up. We're going to skip lunch, I don't think.
Okay.
How long do we anticipate this going for, though?
Yeah, some people might have to consume something or they'll collapse.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think we should totally disregard that. Why don't we take right now a 15-minute break, and the first thing we'll do when we come back is to decide whether we're going to, you know, take a break for lunch, or if we want people to get that, or does that make no sense at all? Should we make that decision now?
Well, let's take the short break now, and then we'll assess how we're going an hour later, so.
This is Pearl. I'd also suggest during this short break, some folks could talk about whether we want to order lunch to be delivered in.
Because I think that would, that's the thing that I would go for. I'm actually not one who wants to just continue ad infinitum with no sustenance.
There definitely are entities that could deliver. Jan, do we have the meeting, I mean, do we have the room?
Until 5.
Okay.
I assured him we wouldn't need it that long, but I guess I didn't know.
Okay, so I have right now 10 till noon. So we will come back, having talked about ordering and so forth, at 5 afternoon. Arrive around the quarter till, is that what they said?
That's what they said.
Give or take.
So Fred says he'll watch for us and bring it in, and not just eat it all out front.
So I think what we'll do 10 minutes later than we were originally going to do it is to go ahead with the financial participation survey item, and wherever we are in that, when the pizzas come, we can momentarily interrupt, but then we will continue to meet while we're eating so that we can finish at a reasonable time. It seems to me like we should be able to be done no later than 4, so we can try for that. At this point, we will open the floor to deal with the financial participation survey.
Okay, I sent to all of you several documents to help with this discussion. One was the survey tool itself, and correct me if I'm wrong. Another one really was some information that talked about what could be covered, what services we provide can be assessed financial participation and what cannot. Is that true? Did I send you the memorandum?
Yes, memorandum.
Very good. Okay, and then another was a compilation of staff comments from a team that we had working on this a while back. Okay, very good. And also a consumer comparable benefit survey. Did I send that?
Yes.
Good. Okay. I sent that because it's something we're kind of looking at more recently as a part of how to make sure we get adequate coverage for things, and it seems to me to be related. After last meeting, there was some comments made to me that made it clear that we hadn't really explained very well, or we hadn't given an explanation of the whole, you know, what the law allows on financial participation. And so that's why I wanted to start out with that memorandum with some of that information. I don't have that in front of me, but the main thing is that the core services, the basic services that we are charged to provide under the Rehab Act, are not things that we can request or get people to pay a portion of. And I don't know all by heart what can and can't be, but I do want to make sure it's clear that if we do a financial participation, it would not be assessed on the main services really that Carlos and Bob were talking about today, assessment and training and placement. It's just very specific things that can be covered with that. So it's not like the person walks in the door, we find out if they have some money or not, and then start charging them a fee. I don't know if Bob or Carlos want to talk any more specifically about that, but I just wanted to give you the overview since you did get that material ahead of time.
Carl?
Yes?
One more overview, if I may.
Please.
According to the new standards and indicators, those who are under SSI or SSDI cannot be required to participate financially.
Thank you. Right. I knew there was some major piece I wasn't saying. And do you know offhand what proportion of our clients are SSI and SSDI recipients? Pretty high?
No, very low actually.
Oh.
Yeah, I would say maybe 25%.
If not higher.
How many?
25%.
Are recipients of SSDI and SSI?
Correct.
Oh, I thought it'd be much higher.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought, not too many. And this is something that, I don't know if you want me to talk about this, but I haven't talked to you already. It's just some checking and statistics, and I checked Nebraska is one of the states in which blind people or disabled people in general don't like to get much SSI or SSDI, especially SSI. It's interesting. It's part of the ethics and, culture of Nebraska. And I was talking to some people about, we have clients sometimes and we say, well, you can apply for SSI and they don't want. And I keep thinking, well, they don't know that they apply, we can get reimbursed, but they don't want. That's how a lot of Nebraskans are.
Okay.
Do we know how many other states are doing financial participation?
Bob, can you speak to that? Let me give a little preface. We did, quite a while back when we were first looking at it, sent a request to all the other rehab agencies, both combined and blind, asking, do you do one? Give us your tools. Let's see, you know, tell us what you think about it and such. So, Bob?
Yeah, so we didn't hear back from everybody, of course, but the response was pretty good. I think we wound up with 25 or 30 agencies responding, and more than half of them do use a survey of some sort. Those that said that they didn't cited a number of reasons that the process would be too cumbersome. It would be a burden on counselors. It would serve little purpose in terms of saving money for the agency. And really, that should, if you do a financial participation survey, one of the reasons that we're told that we should not
we are told that we should not institute such a measure for the reason of saving money, to avoid the order of selection, for example. So, but other states have said that other states like Arizona, I think, that do have financial mean test, have indicated that they use it, but it definitely is not a money. It doesn't save them a great deal of money.
I would say my impression of the ones that I read is the majority who do use it, it really doesn't provide any significant amount of funds. Do you think that's true? Okay. He said yes. Yeah. Now, Bill used to work for Voc Rehab, the general agency in Nebraska. They have one, and you've told me as well, am I correct, that it really doesn't, or what can you say about it?
I can say that at least when I left back in August, they were working on a computer program to take care of potential participation, and that was not working real well at that time. It may be different now, but it was not a real well functioning part of the program that they had at the time.
Okay. I'm sorry, Bob. Was there anything else you wanted to?
No, I don't know.
Okay. The things that our folks, you know, we felt like it would be good for the ownership, consumers taking pride in their program, equitability, so that those that had more means would help to pay for services.
Yeah, we have all that information available to us. I guess so. At this point, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine.
I think we need to really try to make a decision, you know, help the staff know, you know, what our thinking is. I know I've really appreciated the materials that we received ahead of time on this, mm-hmm. So we did have a chance to think about it, and really the comments from the staff, that document was very helpful to me, because I think that a lot of what we need to figure out is not only just the matter of, you know, I can't imagine that it would save money. I also can't imagine it would save anybody any time. And I guess when I think about it, some of the time I've been ready to just say, okay, you know, why don't we just, if we're going to have a policy of some kind or another, why don't we just let people know that there isn't a law against their participating in purchase of equipment or things like that? And there are laws that say that services need to be provided and that can include these kinds of things. And then let people make a decision about whether or not they can or want to participate in that. The only part of it that then becomes difficult for my mind, you know, I'd be interested certainly in getting people's feedback on this whole business too, but is the situation where there is someone who, you know, who needs to have some kind of help with maintenance services. And that's one place where if we separated it out, we could maybe have that particular issue be something that we would require or have some kind of parameters for participation. But on everything else, you know, the law has already ruled out people on SSI or SSDI or people under a certain income level or all kinds of, you know, I'm not sure we're talking about a whole lot of people in any case. But if we could maybe, instead of talking about it in terms of everybody has to have some kind of a form in their file with respect to this, maybe only requiring it in a specific area, and that way the form would be specific that way, not another piece of paper that everybody has to do something. Is that doable? Is that
sensible? Can you think of an example of a particular area?
Mrs. Chair.
Sure.
During the national convention, I was talking to Joe Cordova and, you know, talking about financial participation and so forth. And also coming from New Mexico, I wasn't too aware of how New Mexico ran that because I wasn't with counselors working directly. But talking to him, he said that in the way how they did it was just for maintenance for it. Because according to the law, well, not according to the law, but just so they wouldn't have to provide maintenance to some clients and negate maintenance to others, because they say, well, if you are a rehab agency, you're supposed to treat everybody the same. So in that case, they have a financial needs test instead of financial participation. So the form is designed not to ask the client to participate, buying the equipment or something, but it's designed to determine whether or not that person is in need, so they will assist or maybe maintenance, paying rent or maybe babysitter in some cases, as far as it will help that person to achieve the vocational goal. That's what I wanted to mention. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's something that you were talking about.
Yeah, that is actually the kind of thing that I was talking about. Because, you know, when I looked at these forms, and one of the things that it talked about was if for instance, somebody is assessed 10% on equipment or whatever, well then, if the person doesn't use it anymore, or if whatever happens, what happens to that? Does it then revert to whoever has the most ownership in it, or is the commission going to get wrapped up in that kind of thing? I don't think we want to do that. I really...
Well, one thing about ownership is that we've more recently we have a certain period of time, it's only a year, I think. 2 years. After we provide something to the person, then it's theirs after a certain period of time. Whereas we used to track, and if you weren't using it for your job anymore, if you changed jobs or moved, we wanted to take it back from you. And we don't do that anymore. So in effect, no matter who pays for it, whether it's fully the commission or fully the, or a mix, it ends up being the property of the client anyway, in most cases.
Now what does that mean in terms of, does that mean that at that point the client in effect is doing 100% financial participation in terms of repairs or, like on the computers, if it's software updates or hardware repair or whatever, how does that part work?
If they are clients and they are working on their vocational goal, we will treat the client like we will treat it. For instance, if they want to do it, that's fine. But we will inform them that some people pay for themselves and in some clients we pay. In other words, we will pay if they cannot pay for it or they don't want to pay. As far as it's being used for the vocational goal.
When a student's in school now in college, who pays for the raters in the fifth if they need a rater? Does the school have to do that, or is this?
Yeah, the school has to do that. However, we do authorize a minimum, we authorize like $150 for the whole semester, which is not that much.
And that's more.
I saw something that went up to 300.
It did.
Yeah.
Is it a semester or a quarter? That part was what was confusing to me, because it said a quarter or semester, and I didn't understand that particular.
But reading services, if I'm not mistaken, Bob, is not far. You cannot use that for financial participation, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And besides, with what we authorize for is more of a personal nature. It's more for going to the library, research, you know, that sort of stuff, rather than recording like textbooks and that kind of stuff, you know.
And the latter is what the school pays for? Is it?
Pardon?
The latter is what the school pays for?
More often than not. Right, you know, there's other ways to coordinate reading of those kind of materials. I've always understood that what we authorize the reader for is more for the discretion of the student. for other types of things.
But I am still confused about the, you know, is the amount, does it come to usually 150 a quarter, 300 a semester, or is that,
Very, very seldom does it actually get up there that high.
But that would be permissible if somebody could justify that that's what they were.
Yes.
And do you know if it's a quarter we're talking about, or a semester, or a school year?
We don't really distinguish, you know. In the policy, it says semester or quarter.
Yeah, semester. Which was confusing to me. So somebody could technically come up with, well, they couldn't do more than 300 in a semester. They could come up with, if they do it in the first quarter, then they're out of luck for the second quarter. Is that, I'm trying to understand what it is that we actually do right now.
I'm sorry, what was that question?
Well, when it says 300 a quarter or a semester, if someone really did use that amount in a quarter, does that mean that for the rest of that semester they're on their own?
No.
No. Actually, I would like to answer that, because yeah, we take a look at individual cases, and if we are talking about 300 per semester, we assume that is, if you count the summer, they go to school in the summer, it's going to be $900 for the year. But it doesn't mean that it's written in stone. It's best practice, and if we're talking about quarters, it's yeah, maximum 300, but we're not going to be 300, maybe 150 or 200, but we will maybe more if we have to, according to what they're studying. Usually on quarters, they are not in graduate school.
So do you have any idea on the, research on the general operating budget, how much money is spent in tuition for college, post-high school education?
For tuition now we're talking, or readers?
Tuition.
Bill, can you answer that?
Oh, I think we can answer that. Take me just a second.
Because it seems to me like every sighted person has to pay for their own college. I mean, you know, a blind person has these different alternative technique costs and expenses, and that should be, you know, I could see you could make a distinction between having any financial participation for that, but the basic cost, you know, that could be something. I mean, if Warren Buffett's my dad, why should the state pay for my college tuition when every other college, the college student next to me, he's got student loans and, you know, I had to hustle to get grants. And,
One of the answers that I got, if I may, is because the rich people pay more taxes, therefore they're already giving money to the agency.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, blind students can do like every other sighted student and apply for federal grants and
part of it goes back to the purpose of the Rehab Act and Rehab Services Administration, and there are, and hopefully it's changing, but certainly in the past, the Warren Buffett types of families, people who had plenty of means and wouldn't think twice about paying for law school for their three sighted kids, but their one blind kid, it just would not occur to them to pay for college.
Yes, and that is
very much a part of the purpose of rehab. So,
and it's a part of the society that we live in. We don't, I mean, it sounds good to say, you know, blind kids can go out and do the same things,
but they
unfortunately
can't.
They can't yet. Yeah. Not in our society the way it is now.
Well, the participation doesn't have to be 100%, but everybody does, you know, if you're paying a little bit for your education, you're going to take care a little more. Then if someone else is paying for it, then you know, applying yourself, you don't, you're not as
if that boils down to your father, that probably isn't going to make you any more likely to sticking to it.
It's really a very fascinating area of debate, Bob, that we could get into. But am I not correct, Carlos, that training that includes college tuition, if that's the plan, exactly, that is excluded from,
right.
So it doesn't really matter what we think,
yeah.
We can't do that.
It's basically for
so
technology.
Carlos Bill has some information.
The cost so far this year for tuition and fees and books that we have paid for so far is about $106,000, and that takes care of most of the tuition and fees. We will have books that we will have to pay for that will be purchased here in the fall, but on an annual basis, the $106,000 should take care of all the tuition and fees, and probably, I would say, two-thirds of the books. So probably another $15,000, $20,000 at the most for books at the end of the semester.
I guess I'm just in favor in general, and again, it doesn't have to be a lot, but just some threshold of financial participation. If a person pays, if something is given to them free, they think of it and treat it differently than if they pay something.
And that's the idea of ownership, you know. And on that same point, the instrument that I designed is based on the median income as determined for Nebraska, okay? Mm-hmm. As opposed to the poverty income level, which some other states use, you know. And I'm not so sure that the median, if something like this was adopted, I'm not so sure that the median income is such a good idea. This is for family size also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wondered about
that family of 13. Well, you know, there are some out there.
Yeah.
You know. But in any case, let's see here. I'm trying to find my point here.
You were talking
maybe,
about
maybe, you know, the problem with the median income is that if you're in a rehabilitation program, you're probably not working, and your income is not terribly high. I don't think too many of our clients are going to meet median income, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a more appropriate thing would be between poverty and median, you know, in terms of when participation began. And then once that point is determined, I do think that it needs to be a percentage. You know, if it is imposed, I'd like to think of it more as a counseling type of thing, but I don't want it. I hate to think that anything like this would actually impose a hardship on any individual.
The bottom line is blind people are disadvantaged because they are blind. And I wouldn't want anything to stand in their way of getting what they need so they can go back out in the work world. And I can just remember when I was a client of the old SVI, my financial participation, I chose to go to a private college in Sioux City because I had two teenage sons at home. I owned my own home, so it wasn't very easy for me to move. And they just told me, we'll pay what it costs to go to the University of Nebraska. So I had to find the rest of the finances for my education, and I applied for federal grants and state grants, but also I applied for a Franciscan Nun scholarship, which I got. And so when you work that hard to get your financial aid in place, you're going to work hard to get your education if you ever want to work. And I think that's their motive, is do they want a job? And they get done, so they're going to do everything they can to study hard and get what they need. And also, when I needed a computer, they just said, okay, how much can you pay? How much part of it can you pay for your computer? You know, if you buy the computer, we'll buy you the programs. And I thought that was very fair. There was no paperwork, nothing. I just said, my rehab counselor asked me, how much? And I think that's very acceptable because I wouldn't want to create any more paperwork for the agency.
You know, the other way to look at this is kind of what Barbara said. Maybe now we don't need to do it. Maybe it's not a big money raiser, but by collecting the data, you know, maybe we're going to have to make hard choices someday. And maybe we got to start digging through these things and, you know, doing some participation requirements. And the key is if we have the data, we can go back through and look at that, at least collect the data, and let people know now we're not doing it, but, you know, with budgets the way they are, someday this could happen. And maybe we see something we want to do someday that's just so great, but, you know, where are we going to get the money to do it? And so we got to start being creative, and maybe we can pull out the financial participation issue and find that to maybe create, you know, to come up with some new money.
Bob, are you suggesting that the counselors would start filling out this type of a survey on everybody, but we wouldn't implement anything yet, but we'd collect it all? Is that what you're saying?
Right, and see, maybe you'd want a shorter list. I mean, you don't have to, make it so super burdensome to get just some kind of snapshot of what the people we're serving have available. And so that if someday we're sitting here and the governor has said 10% across the board budget cuts to everybody, and we're saying, man, where are we going to come up with it? Then we've already collected the data, and maybe we have to start making hard choices. But at least we'll have the database to start making those kinds of decisions.
I hesitate to speak when I have an impulsive reaction to something because I usually change my mind, but my gut feeling about that is that will cause a lot of tension with no results. That is, if people are asked these questions and say, well, we're not really doing anything except just, collecting this because the commission board says that we have to do this, even though we're not really doing anything with it right now, just in case we ever decide to, I think instead of a win-win situation, it looks like a lose-lose one to me.
Well, when you apply for services, what kind of, there's a whole bunch of questions you got to answer.
No kidding.
So why not? I mean, everybody that, guess what? I mean, you apply for a student loan, I mean, they want your, they want it all, baby. They want your tax returns. They want, people are just not surprised anymore to get asked these kinds of questions. It's just not, the kinds of things. I mean, they apply for credit. I mean, these are not the kinds of questions that are out in left field that they'll never come across in any other phase of life.
Well, I guess as I see the trend, it tends to be, I don't know, maybe I'm misinterpreting something, but, if we now are not including people who receive either SSI or SSDI and already other types of things have been eliminated for consideration, it almost seems like the trend is toward not doing that rather than toward doing it. And I don't know, I still have... What is the voluntary participation rate here? Isn't it pretty good of people who choose to participate?
I don't know that we actually have a rate, I would say yes, it probably is pretty good, especially in terms of we do just pay the university rate, and I think Dorothy made a good example of where people choose to go either to a different college that's a private or has higher levels, and we usually don't pay that higher level. And that in terms of technology, it's very individualized, as Reupline is supposed to be, and we work with the person, and we don't just provide this set of stuff for everybody that walks in the door.
So we already have financial participation, but it isn't official. There's no paperwork.
That's probably true. I want to say a couple of things. One is Bill's kind of trying to get my attention. Bill, if you want to speak, you need to speak up to the chair.
I know.
Okay. Secondly, the food is here. Do you want to wait till this whole topic's done, or shall we start kind of serving people while we talk? I don't want anybody to fall away with like myself. Could I start kind of serving while we keep the discussion going?
We can do that for a while.
Does that work?
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I guess Fritz is
offered to. Fritz. Just in case one.
Okay. Thank you.
I do have a thought, though.
Bill.
Regarding voluntary participation. Voluntary participation is fine. If counselors can and do talk to clients about that option, so long as they know that it's necessary for the client to know that client services will not be denied if they don't feel that they can participate. Okay. The difference between that and this financial means test is that anybody requiring the service that is subject to this survey will have to be administered a test, you know, so that's my understanding of things too.
Bill, were you actually seeking the floor?
I was
okay.
If I can make a couple of personal observations from having worked with the general agency, we did do some financial participation at different times, to be real honest with you. First of all, I believe wholeheartedly in clients participating.